Blog Talk Radio.
My tech. Well, here we go. Ready? Okay.
Move 30 minutes. The earth is warm. The world is we find the sea. The sky is given upon the wall. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand and give his own way? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive the blessing from the Lord. Vindication from God this evening. Such is the generation of those who seek it, who seek your face, O God. Lift up your heads, O ye, be lifted up, ye ancient doors, and King of glory may come. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Preach briefly on this subject this morning. Let the King of glory in. Let the King of glory in. But King David writes the 24th Psalm as a celebratory hymn, while the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, is being moved to the city of David. And it's such an auspicious occasion that the people of God by the thousand are lined up for the event. Now, the event is open to the entire congregation. Thousands of inhabitants form a choir to sing this celebratory hymn. And not only does the choir sing, but the entire congregation knows the song as well. For the hymn was not written for individual mourners, personal faith, but rather for corporate worship. It's for community worship. And although we're currently unable to assemble together for congregational praise, once we are able to assemble, let's not take the privilege for granted by sitting at home by ourselves. For in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, a soloist is present to lead this hymn. Even though everyone knows the hymn, there's a soloist who is leading. And it's conducted in a call and response. So the choir sings verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world therein. Then the soloist sings verse 2, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And then it ends in verse 6, where we find Selah. Now, Selah is a musical term that means pause and think about what you just said. And you don't have to say the word, because it was known in Israel that you were required to pause and think about what you did just see. So this hymn helps us to focus on the fact the King of glory shall come in. So from verses 1 through 7, verse 1 begins with the earth, and verse 7 ends with the everlasting doors. It opens with the temporary, the earth, and closes with the eternal, everlasting doors. This is done to show us that you don't already have to be where God is going to take you. In regards to the everlasting door, God shows us that he meets us where we already are on earth and takes us where he wants us to be, the everlasting door. This means that I don't already have to be perfect. I don't already have to be like Jesus. All I have to do is open up and the King of Glory will come in. But when I open up, Jesus meets me right where I am. The psalmist is talking about the earth, then he moves to the everlasting door. He starts with the temporary and moves to the eternal. And this is done because God doesn't want us to get caught up in the temporary to the point where we miss out on the eternal. We can't afford to focus in on what is temporary and miss out on eternity. Don't get caught up, in other words, in things that you can see and miss out on those things that you can't see. Don't focus on things that run out and miss out on things that will never run out. You see, God doesn't have a problem with us benefiting from his blessings here on earth. He's the one who made the earth. We're told the earth is the Lord. So God doesn't have a problem with you having a house, car, jewelry, or cash. Jesus said all these things shall be added unto you. He just doesn't want these things to keep us from the eternal things that God has for us. Because all things belong to God. David wants us to notice that in our desire to accumulate things, don't forget who these things actually belong to. You know, before this pandemic hit, a lot of us have got misguided and confused who owns the things that we have. The job, our health, our clothes, our house. We got dizzy and confused. We thought they were wrong. But God is letting us know they belong to him. It's God's by ownership, but ours by stewardship. We're learning that clearly now. You see, God, he gives us a little to manage. He gives others more, and he gives others a lot more. So you may ask, well, if it's God, why do I possess it? Well, you possess it in the same manner in which you possess a car that you make payments on. The fail to make payments on that car. And you find out who it really belongs. Can I get a witness? And then when the Lord blesses us with homes that we're able to rear a family up in, and he blesses us with children, and we don't have a problem telling our children who the house belongs to. We've got our own rules and regulations that we dictate, and we expect our children to obey. And when they don't obey those regulations, we don't have a problem letting them know this is my house. So don't get bent out of shape. When God lets you know who these things really belong to, this is my car, God says. This is my house, God says. This is my health, God says. And what you need to do is realize and understand who they belong to. And I want to go a little deeper. God also created the people in the earth. He owns us through creation as well as redemption. And if you're a child of God, he owns you twice, by creation and for what he did for us on Calvary. We need to let God control us. We can't argue with God about where he wants to bless us or where he wants to put our money. And let me pause for a moment. I want to thank the members of Blessed Community for your faithfulness in giving your tithes and offerings. Yes, we appreciate that, and God appreciates that. And for our viewers, don't forget to mail your donations in. We've got the address listed, and we've got the app where you can give electronically, too. Don't forget it. Amen. We're counting. God is counting on that. For God is in control of his work. He founded it on the seas, and he established it on the flood. And I'm aware that this is David's account of creation. But it's amazing how God established this world on the flood. Because if it was you or I, security in insecure places. God has a way of stabilizing you in unstable places. God has a way of causing you to overcome in places where other people are overwhelmed. Now, Noah was called by God to build an ark and tell his neighbors that it was going to rain. And when the rains finally came, his family went into the ark while the people he had preached to and warned were being overwhelmed. While it was raining and overwhelming those who were outside of the will of God, Noah and his family, they were rising to a higher level. They were going through the exact same thing, but while others were sinking, Noah and his family, they were safe. And that's because Noah was connected to God. You see, what overwhelms others, God allows you to sail on and sail. He brought you through whatever you've been through in the past. God has brought you to where you are today. And you haven't lost your mind because he's in control. Whatever you're facing in life, be it this pandemic, be it your job, be it your marriage, be it sickness, God is still in control. There's nothing that you can get in that God can't get you out of. God not only blesses us in creation, but he also blesses us in elevation. God is able to take you to another level. The Bible says that we go from faith to faith and glory to glory because life is lived on many levels. And the dangerous thing in life is to become satisfied with the level that you're on, believing that you've learned all that you're going to learn, believing that you're all that you're going to be, believing that you've been everywhere that you're going to go. That's saying this. It's because whatever you've been exposed to, prepared for where you're going. Personally, I'm an individual who is never satisfied. For many years, I thought that something was wrong with me. But the Lord has revealed to me that it wasn't to my detriment, but it was for my development. Because no matter how low you are, God can still take you to another level. Just make sure that you don't get satisfied on the level that you're at. Well, Pastor,
How does God take me to the next level? How does he do that? Well, it's those with clean hands and pure heart. You see, clean hands, that represents our action. And too many of us like going to clean places, but they still have dirty hands. And that's why in this pandemic, you hear everybody say, wash your hands. Amen, somebody. And that's the way it's to be in our Christian life. Make sure that your hands are clean. Because many like to come to church, but they like listening to the choir. They like visiting holy places, but the hands were dirty. You see, our activities don't match the places we want to go to. And you know, if someone was cooking your food, you would get quite disturbed if their hands weren't clean. If you have to undergo an operation, you would postpone that operation if the doctor had dirty hands. And therefore, as Christians, we must have clean hands. We're handling the issues of life. And it's imperative that our actions are as clean as the words that we're instructing others on. And then that pure heart represents our attitude. Being arrogant, being conceited, built up on pride, we got to learn how to get our disposition right. Because our attitude directs and affects our altitude. You can go to the next level with a bad attitude. Then the psalmist tells us, stop lying, speak the truth, but speak it in love. Stop speaking evil of us. Quit manipulating and deceiving us. We must build others up by faith and not tear them down. For to rise to the next level in your life, you have to stop lying on and lying for and lying with other people. And there's some who sadly believe that if you tell the truth, the other person gets the advantage. That's not true. And I know we got someone in office who was told over 20,000 documents. But let me let you in on a fact. God uses the truth to develop us. Satan uses lies to destroy us. And if God takes us from faith to faith and to glory to glory. And many of us, we find ourselves stuck in the same position because we're waiting on somebody else to take us to the next level. If my supervisor would give me a promotion, if my cousin would turn in my resume, if my man was supposed to do what he's supposed to do, if my woman would do what she's supposed to do, when God all the while is just shaking his head, wondering why you're waiting on someone else to do what I want to do for you. This is what our ancestors would sing about when they would say, can't nobody do me like you. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. For he's the God of salvation. Look at Psalm 24, verses 5 through 6. It says, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Mind you, I won't read it too fast. For the word says, the blessing, not a blessing. Don't skip over that definite article. You see, the blessing is not a blessing. And often what we do, we allow a blessing to make us miss out on the blessing. You see, it's the But blessed is the righteousness of God that comes from God, the God of his salvation. You see, righteousness means being in right standing with God. For sin has separated us from the glory of God. And that's why you find a lot of folks who are uncomfortable with church. They don't feel like praying. They feel that they've got to get right with God. Righteousness is a blessing from God, the God of our salvation. That's how we get right. Jesus means God's salvation. And if one desires to get right with God, they can't do it on their own. How many individuals that you know have put off coming to Jesus because they want to, quote unquote, get themselves right, then come? You see, you can't get yourself together. You have to get right with God, the God of our salvation. And then David closes this part of the psalm with Selah. Paul, don't get in a hurry and think about what you just said. Never get in such a hurry that you think that you have to wait on God to finish the psalm before you start thinking what he's already done. God's not perfect. But you don't have to wait until you get to your final destination before you start reflecting on how good God's been to you. You have to pause right where you are and start reflecting on what God has already done. God has already created me. He owns me twice by creation and redemption. He's in control of my situation. He has secured me in unstable situations. God has taken me from faith to faith and glory to glory. He's the one who has taken me to a different level. So now I've got to stop and think about what he's already done in my life. And when I pause and think about what he's done, I've got to thank him for what he's already done. And the reason many can't thank God for what he's done is because you're not thinking about God. Somebody, still, no matter what we've gone through these past few months, still haven't prayed. Still haven't thanked God despite our circumstances. Arms haven't been listening. Still won't lift the arms. Still won't offer a prayer. Still won't praise him. And failing to look back and think what he's already brought you through. Oh, my goodness. Haven't reflected on how God woke you up this morning and started you on your way. But I don't know about you. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul gets happy and my soul cries out, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. So now we get to verse 7. The King of glory shall come in. For it's the possibility of Jesus showing up in my life and in my circumstances that brings me great joy. What's the chance, Pastor? What's the possibility? Oh, it's highly probable. How do I get the King of glory to come in? Well, first of all, you have to lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, notice now, Jesus is not going to ambush you or jack you up for your soul. He's not going to take you by force. You've got to open up the door to your soul and let him in. He's not in the kidnapping business. You have to offer Jesus an invitation to come in. And when you let him in, Jesus was, he says, all we have to do is just believe in him and receive him, and he'll come in. That's his word. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is this King of Glory? Well, notice now, the King of Glory, his position doesn't change. He was a king before he came in, and he's going to be the king when he comes in. You see, when he comes in, he's going to do what kings do. He's going to rule and he's going to reign. He's going to take over and take control because he's sovereign. You see, Jesus isn't just satisfied with being a resident. He wants to be the president, helping somebody. And since he won't change his position, we've got to learn how to change our disposition. I know I got some witnesses and some fellow classmates who attended the University of Be Your Own Man. You thought that you were on the soul of your own throne. Did you hear me? You thought that the throne that was on your soul belonged to you and you would sit on it. But one day you got a new teacher at that university. His name is Dr. Jesus. Because you were learning some long lessons in that bad class. You were treating people any way that you wanted to. And you felt that it was my money and I would do what I want to do with my money. But Jesus came and he took over the class and he started giving us new lessons. And then when he started giving new lessons, I had to learn how to get up off the throne. And then now I say, now right on, conquering me, and the King of Glory shall come in. Oh, my goodness, I'm getting ready to close now. But I tried life by myself. I know I got some stuff. We've all tried to handle life on our own, and that was a losing battle. So now I came to the realization that I needed a king to fight my battle. And I was here with some good news this morning. The Lord is strong and mighty in battle. When he comes with his presence, promise, and power. And I got a good idea what your battle is. We're all battling this pandemic. But I'm here to tell you that the King of Glory, he can handle. He gives you power to handle whatever you face. All you have to do is allow him to come in and save you from your situation. What must I do to be saved? And we make that so hard. Jesus says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We make that so hard with all of our restrictions. But Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And all you have to do is open up the door. You don't have to know soteriology or eschatology. Jesus makes it easy. He says that I am the bread of life. And all you have to do is invite him in and eat. You don't have to have a PhD because Jesus says, I am the living water.